I'm Jill Covey. This is my son David. We have the rest of the family, or some of the family at the back there. So we often travel as a family. So we have raised children. I was a teenager once as well. Do you realize that? That every adult you meet was once a teenager? Really? Do you realize your parents were once teenagers? Your parents once came home and dropped their bags on the floor in the kitchen and got their mom mad at them. The cycle goes on. They left their shoes in the wrong place and the socks on the kitchen table. We've all been teenagers. Not only have I been a teenager, I've raised four teenagers. So I've gone through my teen years and taken four other people through teenage years. And teenage years are some of the hardest years of your lives. Some of the, really, they are the hardest lives. If you ask most adults, would you want to be a teenager again? They would say no, because it's a hard time. And oftentimes, adults haven't been there for you. And they haven't understood what it takes. At least the perception is that we don't understand what it's like to be a teenager. But all adults have been through it, and it was rough for us as well. But we had to make the same life decisions that you're facing now. And I'm saying this because I am sorry that adults haven't been there for you. I'm sorry that when you've wanted to talk to your moms and dads, they've been too busy and they've had other assignments. But to make it through some of these years that you're coming up, you're going to need us. You're going to need an adult. Some of the questions that you have need adults. So I'm going to ask you, as God is going to be with us all our lives, He is, but sometimes He sends in people to help us through some of those tough times in our lives. So I just want to ask you, would you allow us to help you raise you? Would you allow adults around you? Would you come and ask questions at times when you're stuck? Because we do care. But the perception is from us that you don't want to hear from us. So we don't speak. And we watch you go through pain. And we see it. And we've been there. And we've done it. But it's hard for us to come to you and say, can I help? But we need each other. We need you. And you need us. And we all need the older generation. So one of the things that we do, we've raised our children with a purity message. And it's taken an element of trust for them to receive it. Because we knew things they didn't know. And we taught them things that they didn't understand. But because they trusted us, it came forth. And in that process, they've realized, and it's their message. This message belongs to David. It's David's message. He's walked it out. And he's seen it is easier to live life with boundaries and to be able to say no than to let everything happen around you. So I'm going to step aside and let David speak. But do let adults come alongside. Let us help you. Let us answer those questions that we have experienced ourselves. We do want to help.
Thank you, Mom. Everything that I am going to share tonight is things that I've either learned directly from an adult or learned because of adult influences in my life. As Mom said, they really have gone before, and they know a lot of the things that we're going through, they've been through, and sometimes they made the wrong decision, in which case they can tell us not to. And sometimes they made the right decision, in which case they can tell us what to do as well. So we really need to surround ourselves with adults that we can trust to help us through these times in our lives. So tonight I'm going to talk about purity. I'm going to talk about sexual purity. This is a fun topic. Everybody enjoys talking about this topic, okay? So here we go. And this is going to be a really challenging message. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. So I really ask that throughout the whole thing, you keep your ears open, you keep your heart open. And if you hear something that you don't necessarily agree with, or maybe you haven't heard before, or it's new to you, I ask that you continue to keep your ears open, okay? Hear me out all the way to the end. And then afterwards, we'll break into small groups, and you can discuss things that you have questions about. You can come find one of my parents and myself. We'll be here as well. So I want this to be a life-changing message for you guys, in not a way that you look back and say, wow, that was a life-changing message, but in a way that you look forward and you say, since I've heard this message, I'm going to change my life. Okay, so let's flip the life-changing to looking back at going, wow, that was such a good night, to looking forward and saying, now it's time to change the way I'm living. Okay, I want to raise the bar at the level of purity that I have in my life. Okay, so this is an extreme lifestyle. It's something that I've lived. It's something that my parents raised me in. So everything that I'm talking about tonight is something that I'm living, and in many areas, sometimes even to a greater degree than what I'm going to speak about tonight. So this is stuff that I've walked through, I've struggled with, haven't always made it, but you know, I'm where I am today so that I can come and speak to you guys about this. So one more thing I want to say before we get started is convictions. The most common response to hearing a sexual purity message in areas, this is so gray, this whole sexual purity area. Some people believe this way, some people believe this. You know, everybody says it's based on your convictions. That's true to a certain point, but here's where the concern comes in when everything's based on your convictions. At the end of time, when we all stand before the judgment throne of Christ, he isn't going to judge us based on our convictions. Okay, so your convictions, you need convictions. Okay, they're a good thing, because it's easy to stand up and say, I want to be counted when we're surrounded by our youth group or in the safety of our church. It's another thing to say that in the school, as Ashley was saying, to stand up and be like, I'm a Christian and stand for Christ. And that's where your convictions are what's going to get you through those times. So although you need convictions to get you through life, your convictions won't get you through life. Okay, so there's kind of like a double side to that. We can't rely entirely on our convictions to get us through life, if that makes any sense whatsoever. You can have the strongest convictions of anybody and still end up in hell. Okay, you can have a really strong conviction about a particular subject, such as sexual purity, and still be wrong. So there are times when we may not agree with it, but instead of making a judgment and saying that's his conviction, not mine, if you think that tonight, I ask you to set that thought aside for a while and just say, God, what are your convictions for me about this situation? Okay, because that's how we're all going to be, you know, judged at the end of time, or based on what God's convictions for our lives were. Does that make sense? Can we make a deal there, everybody? Anytime tonight you think, that's what he believes, that's not what I believe, just say, you know what, I'm not going to think that right now. Is that cool? See some nods of heads there? Thank you. I like an active crowd. Feedback is good. Okay. So I think it's fairly easy to say that everybody here believes that sex is for marriage. I think we can all agree that sex was designed by God in the context of marriage. Feedback, that's good. I like that. Keep that going. So, but how do we get there? That's the biggest question. As Mom said, teenage years are the hardest years of your life. You're going to go through so many struggles. You got media bombarding you. We live in such a centralized culture that it's absolutely ridiculous. Everywhere you look, it's sex, sex, sex. Sex sells, so that's what they present to us. So let's turn to the Bible and see what the Bible says about it. In Psalm 119, this is probably one of the most powerful passages of scripture, and I've been stuck on Psalm 119 for like 3 weeks now. I've been slowly working through the Bible, taking different passages and really applying them to my life, and I'm still on Psalm 119, but it's really good. Here's what it says, and this is in the Message version, so it puts it into our lingo. How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word, I am single-minded in my pursuit of you. Okay, that's a key right there. I am single-minded in my pursuit of you. The only thing that we want is more of God. Okay, so this message is challenging, and some of the things that I'm going to throw out there as guidelines for us to live by, you may balk at. But ultimately, we need to say, I want God so bad. I want so much more of God in my life that even if I stick out, that's fine. Even if it makes for awkward situations with some of my peers because of my convictions about purity, that's fine. I'm willing to take that flack. And I've been there. I've taken the slack for years. I still take the slack. And here's, you know, a truth. You're going to take more slack from some of your Christian friends than you will, you know, outside of the church. I go to university. I've had the opportunity to share with a couple of classmates about purity and my standpoint and why I believe as strongly as I do. And their reaction is, why did I not know this 10 years ago? Where were you 10 years ago when I could have done it the right way? Okay? So there is people out there, they know it's right. It's different, but they can feel it inside. Like, you turn me up, okay? You're turning me inside out here. I don't like to hear what I'm hearing because I'm going to have to change how I live. But there's a part of them that says, this is what I need. This is right, okay? So let's focus on that part of us that says, this is right. Okay, so let's continue. Don't let me miss the road signs that you've posted. Train me in your ways of wise living. Not for a minute will I take my eyes off the road. And once again, it comes back to where is our focus? We need to be single-minded and chasing after God. We need our eyes focused on God at all times. Barricade the road that goes nowhere. Grace me with your clear revelation, and I choose the true road to somewhere. So that psalm starts as a question and turns into a prayer. Lord, we ask that you barricade the road that goes nowhere, and I choose to take the road that goes somewhere. So let's talk about that road. Many times we focus on sexual intercourse. That's not allowed before marriage. We put a lot of our focus on that. But let's back up a little bit. Where does that start? How do we get to that stage where we need to make those decisions? How do we stop ourselves from being in a situation that we ever have to make that decision? Okay, because once we're in that situation, statistics show that it is very difficult to say no. And to make that right decision, once you've gone that far, is extremely difficult. And we can look, you know, all around us in our high schools, in our youth groups, church leadership. We can look everywhere. It's very difficult to say no. So when it says barricade the road that goes nowhere, we don't even want to get close to that. We don't want to be focusing on that. We want to be saying, this is where I draw my line. So if this is the line where, you know, that's sexual intercourse, I want to be so far away from that line that I can't even see it. That there is no possible way I could put myself in a situation where I could cross that line, because that's a cliff. And if we fall off that cliff, yes, you absolutely come back. You can come back, and God can absolutely heal and restore you 100%. But it is a long and painful road back. It really, really is. And the consequences don't go away. God will forgive us. God forgave David for falling into sexual sin, but he never took the consequences away. We can look, you know, he lost his firstborn child. And we can also look down his generational line and see his generations paying for his mistake. So God won't take the consequences away. He will forgive us, but he won't take the consequences. So we need to be heading as far as possible in that direction from that line. And that requires an extreme lifestyle. That requires a lifestyle of, I don't even want to get close to that line. And it's going to be so different and so radical from what everybody else is living around you that you are not going to be able to do anything but stick out. Okay, when I was in university this past week on Wednesday, I was in a meeting for a business club that I'm a part of, and a guy that's in my class, we've been in class together for a month and a half, sat down beside me, and I've never met him, never talked to him, and he looked at me and said, what makes you tick? And I was just like, what do you mean, what makes me tick? He's like, there's something different about you. I can see something different about you. And, you know, what is it? And I got to tell him, you know, I'm a Christian, and, you know, I live a different life. And the meeting started, so I didn't get to talk any more about him with it, but that door has now been open. And do I stick out in a good way? Does it make me feel good to stick out? Absolutely not. I stick out. It's not like, wow, he saw the light of Jesus shining out of me. He knows the fact that, you know, I don't go hang out with all the popular kids at the parties, you know, etc. But they know that you have something different and they can see that. If we're chasing after God, mind you, if we're following God and single-minded in our pursuit, people will see it. Okay, so let's talk about some practical things that are very wise to apply to our lives. Especially at the stage of life that you guys are all at. We're in high school. We've got a lot of contact with the opposite sex all the time. So here's a good general rule of thumb to live by, especially for this age group. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, that it is not good for a man to touch a woman. Ever. Outside the context of marriage. Okay? It's a heavy bomb right there. So everybody keep your ears open, keep your hearts open, and hear what I have to say. It's a sign of, that is the first step of going, of taking the next step towards that cliff. Because there is something in physical touch that is only for marriage. Okay, and there are, you know, as you get older, there are times and places where, and situations where a side hug is appropriate, you know, but at this age and in the stage of life that you guys are at, and with all the hormones going crazy and everything that the media and the world is throwing at you, we don't need to add to that. So it is wise to follow that scripture, and it is not good for a man to touch a woman. Okay, so high fives. Give them a high five on the way by. Okay, that's all we need. So it's a sign, here's one of the biggest reasons that I really strongly believe in this. When you hug somebody, you're making contact with them. That could mean absolutely nothing to you. It could just be a sisterly, how you doing, haven't seen you in a while, great to see you kind of hug. But you don't know what it's doing to the other person. Okay? We don't know what the reaction is in the other person. And you never will know. Unless it's a negative reaction. If you've caused that a sin issue to start in that person's life, and it's so easy. It is so easy. I cannot stress enough how easy it is for sin to creep in. Okay, there's a reason why Satan is throwing all this sex stuff at us. It is an easy area to fall over in, and he knows it. And that is why. So we need to stay as far away as possible from it. So we never know what that does. So if a girl hugs a guy, and it means absolutely nothing to that girl, you don't know what it did to the guy. You don't know if that started, you know, a seed of lust in him, or if he started thinking impure thoughts. And, you know, Jesus says very clearly, if you think it, you've done it. Okay, so you may not know at the time what's happened, but here's the weight behind it. Someday you will know. Okay, because Jesus says in Luke 17:2, this is in the Message again, hard trials and temptations are bound to come. Okay, we all know that, we walk through them every day, but too bad for whoever brings them on. It is better to wear a millstone and take a swim in the deep blue sea than give even one of these dear little ones a hard time. Okay, so Jesus is saying, you know, don't make your brother stumble. Okay, so there's a responsibility. If you start something, if you, you know, hug somebody and start something, and this goes vice versa, guys to girls and girls to guys. If it starts something in their life, you may not know it at the time, but you will know it someday. Because someday we're going to stand before God, and he's going to judge us, and everything will be made known. Okay, the responsibility is not 100% yours. Absolutely not. We are all responsible for our own sin. But Jesus is very clear, do not make a brother stumble. Okay, so there's a little bit of weight there to that, and that's really important to keep in mind. And that weight is called the fear of God. And, you know, the Bible says that the road to heaven is very narrow. We have two ditches on each side. One of them is legalism, which is all rules. This is very strict. This is how you do it, you know. And the other side is lawlessness with no rules. And, you know, everything is permissible. Okay, so the love of God stops us from falling into the legalism. Because God loves us. He died for us. His grace is there. His mercy is there. But the fear of God stops us from falling into the lawlessness. So the fear of God is what says inside of you, says, you know, I don't want to make my brother stumble because I don't want, you know, I'm going to answer to that someday. Okay, so that's the fear of God, and we need the fear of God in our lives. That's what keeps us on that narrow path. Okay, and the other one is the honor. Paul talks about in the Bible living a life of pure and holy love, okay, and honoring one another. And so it's a real sign of honor to not open that door in each other's lives. Okay, so you're saying, I honor, your girls are saying, I honor you guys so much that I don't want you to slip and fall, so high five is enough. And guys, you're saying the same thing to the girls. We honor you so much that we don't want you to take your eyes off of Jesus. We don't want you to lose focus. We don't want you to take your eyes off that road. We don't want you to open the door to the road that goes nowhere. So we're going to honor you so much that we're going to, high five is enough. Okay, does that make sense to everybody? Is that like really extreme or what? That means like no hugging. That means like no holding hands. Okay, so that's an extreme lifestyle. And it will make for awkward situations. Between girls is fine. Or guys, you know what I mean? Like get your hugs from the same gender or your parents. Okay, so it makes for some awkward situations, but we need to be chasing God so hard that we're okay with awkward situations. Okay, when I, you know, there was a time in my life where I did not apply this rule, and I definitely should have. And I don't regret not doing it, but I can see the wisdom in doing it. And you know what? Yeah, there are a few regrets that come with breaking the rules, okay? Some of the consequences that we deal with. And it makes for some awkward situations. Girls that I would give a hug when I saw them, the next time I see them, they expect the hug. Well, you know what? I'm sorry, but that opens a door in my life. That opens a door in your life. And even if it doesn't, there's a possibility of it. So I'm going to say no. And stick your hand out. Get a high five. So it will make for awkward situations, but keep your eyes focused on the road that goes somewhere. Okay, we want God so much that we're willing to put up with a few awkward situations if we need to. Is everybody cool with that? Good. Good, good, good. Okay, so it's all about keeping, all of us keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. And, you know, teenage years are hard years, and you're going to get through them so much easier if you keep your eyes focused, you know, on God and not, you know, back and forth between each other. Okay, so you need 100% focus on God, and if, you know, that means no touching, then no touching. High fives are enough. We don't want to distract from what's God doing. We don't want to make each other slip and fall. And there are benefits to this. This is not just a life of, you know, head down, I'm walking that road, and woe is me. This is a good life because Psalm 119 starts by saying, I am blessed when I walk in your commandments. I am blessed when I follow your road. I am blessed when I live according to the plan that you have for my life. So when we choose the road that goes somewhere and we say no and we want to shut that door in our life, the sexual area, because, you know, Song of Solomon says, do not awaken it before we start. A hug can waken a lot. I know from experience, okay? Don't lie to me. You can't hug somebody and not feel something. So when we say no, that pours God's blessings down on our life. That's one of the promises that come with living a lifestyle of purity. Okay, and it changes our lives in ways that we may not know right now. A lot of this is trust. Okay, so we may not be able to look at it right now and be like, okay, that's wisdom to not hug. We may be able to look at it that way. That's great if you can. But a lot of this, as Mom said, when they were teaching me to live a lifestyle of purity when I was younger, one of the rules was no tickling girls. Because tickling can lead to so much more. Okay, did I understand that at 7 years old, why I couldn't touch girls? Well, at 7, it wasn't really a big deal because girls were still ick. Why would I want to touch a girl? But as I grew older, I didn't really understand why I can't tickle a girl. I can tickle my sisters. Why can't I tickle her? But I trusted that they knew better because they'd been there and they've seen it happen. They walked through it many times. Okay, so a lot of this is wisdom and trust. And looking back, you know, it will be something that is very much appreciated because we're staying so far away that we'll never even get in a situation where we have to make a decision on whether or not we want to have sex. That's not a decision we should ever make, you know, outside of marriage. So we need to be as far away from that line as we possibly can be. Does that make sense, everybody? Good, good, good. Okay, I had one more thought about 2 seconds ago, and I should have taken it because I forget what it is right now. But it was a good one. I'll remember later. Come talk to me later. Okay, let's pray. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to begin to stir this passion for purity inside of everybody here, Lord. This desire that we want you so much that we're willing to stick out and be different. And maybe not understand why. And maybe not understand, you know, the benefits of what we're doing, Lord. But just trusting that looking back, we will appreciate it. When we're standing on our wedding day and we have no connections to anybody else except for the one that God designed for us from the beginning of time. Lord, that we will appreciate living a lifestyle of purity. And God, right now, we just choose to take the road that leads to somewhere, Lord. We ask you to barricade the road that goes nowhere, God. We ask that you would move in our lives and just shut any of those doors that we could, you know, get on that road, Lord. We ask you to just close those doors in our lives and we choose the road to somewhere. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you very much, David. That was awesome. And to Jill as well for opening up. We're going to, this is really loud. Oh no, that's the lights. We're going to break down into small groups. So if you've never been here before, we encourage you to just join. Are there any leaders that came with you guys from the other churches? No? No problem. All right. So we're going to break down into small groups of girls and guys. So can our girl cell leaders stand up? All of our girl cell leaders stand up.